Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for July 23rd, 2023, the 8th Sunday of Pentecost by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Well, I love me a good judgment parable. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, burning in the fire, the good wheat and the bad weeds, the good people and the bad people. I don't know about you, and I hate to admit this, but I kind of have a list. I might or might not have a list, and that list might or might not include some people that would be on the weeds list, who might or might not be on their way to the fire. Isn't that tempting and fun to think about that? The people that we would put in the good camp and the bad. We like to judge. We like to be in that seat of authority, looking around and going, well, everybody on this side, I guess you guys are the wheat. And I'm sorry about you all, but weeds you are. Takes me back to my childhood when if I looked in the summer like I was having too much fun or was not doing anything, my mother would find a job for me. And my job usually was go weed the garden, which is to this day why I hate weeding. We had a long terraced garden. We lived on top of a hill, and there were all these little places where she was trying to garden. It was terrible soil. That's another parable, but anyway, there were always more weeds than flowers. And my problem was I did not know the difference between the weeds and the flowers. And so my mother would come out and see how I was doing, and she'd be like, ah, you've just picked all the flowers. I didn't know the difference. And I think that's true in more ways than one. It's not always easy to tell the difference between weeds and wheat, between weeds and flowers. In fact, think about this for a minute. What really is the difference between a weed and a flower, or a weed and another type of plant? Is there a definitive difference? Like, are there characteristics of weeds that are different? They grow faster, I think that's true. But what else? No, we decide what is a weed, and we decide what is the preferential plant, right? We have decided that we like some plants and we don't like others. It's like animals. Some animals are pets, other animals are food. We would be horrified if somebody ate a pet for food. But what really is the difference? It's only our choice. So I was thinking about this because every once in a while I get a letter from my HOA, our subdivision, about the house. There was one letter I got about the shutter. There was one shutter that was kind of off. It was during the, several years ago, during the polar vortex winter, and they wanted me to go up in the middle of 20 below and fix the shutter. I was like, no, I gotta wait. Then I got a letter because there were some weeds growing in our driveway and I had to take care of those. But the enemy number one, like if there was a wanted poster in our subdivision, enemy number one, it's, can you guess? Dandelions. Oh, dandelions. Oh, they're terrible. I mean, if you have dandelions growing in your yard, you will have neighbors knocking on your door. You'll have letters from the HOA. Dandelions are the enemy. They're the worst possible weeds because they grow so quickly and they spread everywhere, don't they? They're very successful plants. What we love instead is our lawns, the beautiful manicured lawns, those grassy lawns. Why do we like lawns and not dandelions? Think about that for a minute. Lawns are actually terrible for the environment. They're a monoculture. They don't help pollinating bees or birds. They suck up resources. I can't tell you how much we've spent on our blasted lawn. We put in a sprinkler system. We have a company that comes and puts chemicals in it to make sure nothing bad is going on in there. Have to mow it. I mean, the time and energy to take care of this lawn is enormous, and it produces nothing. Dandelions? You remember the old novel, Dandelion Wine, Ray Bradbury? You can make wine with dandelions. You can eat dandelions. Every part of the dandelion is edible from the root to the flower. And it has vitamins, and it has antioxidant properties. It is a healthful food to put on your salad. Now, I cannot remember the last time I actually ate dandelions, but so I hear, they're very nutritious. And they're pollinators. They, in 100 ways, give back more than my beautifully manicured lawn. So why do we prefer the one over the other? We're not very good, it seems to me, as human beings, in actually judging between weeds and wheat. And that's why Jesus, in the parable, who's talking about the owner says, hey, I'm going to plant this field, and then the slaves come and say, hey, we'll help you out. We'll take care of those weeds for you. We're going to jump in. We know the difference, and we're going to help you. And the owner says, no. I don't trust you people. You got to wait and see what grows, right? Wait till the end. And then I still don't trust you people. I'm going to have the angels come, and they'll work it out. You just sit yourself down and stop trying to help judge. You don't need to be God. In other words, let me be God. Let me take care of the judging stuff. You take care of the growing. I think this is an important lesson for us. Whenever we get too big for our britches, whenever we want to be in the position of God or the position of the gardener, whenever we think that we can judge, now it's one thing to judge between weeds and flowers. The real problem comes when we start judging people, isn't it? When we start to think that we know who the good side are and the bad side. I'm sorry, this side, you're not measuring up. What can I tell you? When we think we can judge, we find ourselves in trouble because that is not our job. It takes time. It takes God's perspective, not ours. Look, for example, at our wonderful continuing saga of the patriarch's family. Today we see Jacob. Remember Jacob and Esau from the last couple of weeks? We know who the wheat was and who the weed was. Esau was the weed, right? He was the bad one. He was the one who despised his birthright. He was the one who threw it all away. He was the weed, and Jacob was the wheat, the chosen one. He was the one who was blessed by God. But you know, when we look deeply into that story, Jacob actually looks a little weedy to me. He manipulated that blessing out of his father. He stole the blessing. He lied to his father and stole the blessing. He manipulated his brother into giving up that birthright. Jacob has a lot of weedy characteristics. And so today when we meet him, he is actually running away from it. His brother, who's pretty slow, has finally woken up to the fact that he's been had, and he's mad, and he wants to get Jacob. And so Jacob has decided to take a little vacation and to leave town. He's on his way to visit his uncle Laban and maybe get a wife. But he finds himself, he's gotten everything he wanted. He got the blessing from his father. He got the birthright. And now he's totally alone. And in this deserted place, he lays his head down on a rock. And he has a vision of angels ascending and descending. The theologian Richard Hooker said that the angels were ascending with our prayers and descending with the word of God. Isn't that lovely? They're just carrying on this commerce between earth and heaven. And God meets Jacob there and says, Jacob, you weed, I'm going to make wheat out of you yet. That blessing that you stole, I'm actually going to give it to you out of the goodness of my heart. I'm going to bless you, and you are going to be fruitful. You are going to be the father of a great nation. Not because you're good, but because I, God, am good. Not because you earned it or stole it, but because it is my pleasure to bring about the salvation of the entire human race through you, you imperfect, conniving weed. You are going to be the father of this great nation. And in that moment, Jacob is transformed. We'll see more of his story. He doesn't change. He's still pretty much Jacob. But God uses him, uses the weed to bring about something magnificent, a harvest that is plentiful. And for me, this gives me great hope. Because sometimes when I read these parables about hellfire and damnation, I think to myself, I got some weed in me too, right? There's some weed going on there. It's not all wheat. What is my future? Where is God in my life? And this story reminds me that actually, when God looks out at God's field, the wheat and the weeds, God has made all of that. God has made all of us. And no one of us is 100% wheat, despite what the cereal box says, or 100% weed. In God's eyes, there is love enough for all of us, hope enough for all of us, a purpose for all of us. There is, not in my yard, but in some place, a place where dandelions can have their day. They can grow unconstrained. They can reach up to the sun. They can be fruitful and multiply, but not in my yard. Dandelions are blessed too. So whether you are a dandelion or a beautifully cultivated lawn, whether you're a Jacob or an Esau, God has a purpose for you. God has love for you. God has a place for you. And our job, ultimately, is not to sit in judgment, but simply to grow with what we've got, to plant our roots deep in the soil of God's word, to be nourished with the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood, to experience the love of community, and to manifest the fruit that God desires, which is love and peace and justice and kindness and abundance. So may we, weeds and wheat combined, bear fruit abundantly for God's kingdom. May we bless the world as Jacob in his way blessed the world. May we be a blessing to each other and experience every day the nourishing and transforming love of God.